right, I have the title for the message here, which can lend itself to the children's meeting by using those ideas, was, "Is Lord Help Me? Lord Help Me." It's the title of the message this morning. We know that God can help us. We know that God does help people. I was blessed. We were reading last night in the family devotions from Daniel, and I was blessed by the confidence that the three Hebrew children that were thrown in the fiery furnace had, the confidence that they had in God. In Daniel 3, we're just breaking into the story. We have the three Hebrew men drugged before the king here. And in verse 13, it was made known to the king that these people aren't listening. They don't bow down before this image and worship when the music plays. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, then he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I was blessed by their testimony as they were faced with this very difficult thing. And they had this confidence in God. Said, God can fix this. But if he don't, we still won't bow before your image. We will not bow before your image, even if God doesn't fix this, and if our lives end up. You know, there we see a very drastic situation and a miraculous answer. You know, they threw him in. And it's quite a story how that ended. The people, the strongest men in the army were the ones that threw them in, and they died by getting so close to the fire. These boys, their ropes were burned off there, and they were walking around in the fire. Miraculous delivery. Sometimes, or often, and maybe many times that we don't know, God delivers us. God helps us. God takes care of us. Many times. But it was of interest to me, and I wanted to think about this morning, the idea that God often uses other people to help us or to help each other. He uses us to help other people. Do you need help? I've got some questions this morning for us. As we think about our lives, think about our spiritual lives, the things that we face, our relationships, our physical needs, our all of the ways that we maybe wish God would intervene. And just I would ask these questions. Do you need help? Do you feel that? Do you feel that in your own life? Do you need help? Another question that came to me as I thought about this was, can you receive help? Are you spiritually in a position, are you mentally in a position that someone can help you if you need it? Are you there? Can you receive help? Another question that came to me as I considered this topic was, can you recognize a cry for help? Do you see that in those around you, people that you interact with, your family, your people that you go to church with? Can you recognize a cry for help? And then the another question here is, can you help others? Can you actually make a difference? Have you entered into the situation enough that you can actually help others, make a difference long term? Now, these are anyone who has had much experience in church life or in family life, or if you have a family, or just life has taught you, you've gotten into situations where you need help yourself. You have learned that church life and family life is such that people need help. People get in situations. People life comes to them, many times through no fault of their own, but many times through their own poor decisions, they get in situations where they actually need help. Many times it is that way. And much of a spiritual walking together in fellowship is having that ability to successfully walk close beside someone and make a difference in their life. Make a difference and to help them to be successful. As parents, we feel that with our children, where here we are, and these little guys that we love and care for, we want from the depths of our heart the best for them. And so we try to help them develop and overcome their own failures and learn the things in life that they need to know to have the core values and the worldview that would make a difference, help them to be successful. So we want to help them. Many times we see people who don't even realize they need help, who are in such a situation that they feel like they have it together, don't recognize the wreckage and the dysfunction of the life that they are leading in. How do you help those situations? How do you help a situation where, you know, you're in church life, and maybe there's deep failure, deep dysfunction, and you can see it, you can just tell it, it's there, it's real, it happens often, you know, just when the interactions occur, you can just tell there's a problem, there's just a real need, there's just a, I just wish it was different. Or maybe it's in your marriage, or maybe it's in your family life. You know, somewhere you can just, it's so obvious that this is a problem. What can be done? And I think that the ability to actually help maybe does not come natural. Maybe it does not come natural to, this is quite right, especially to people who are quite functional, quite competent, quite, you know, maybe you think of someone who has their life together. I have had enough experience in church life and family life to know that to truly make a difference, especially a difference that requires change in somebody's life, change of their mind, change of their actions, it is a tremendously difficult thing to do. It can be really hard to actually help someone to make it a difference. Is it something that we press into? Galatians 6, 1-3 say, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one, spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And then it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." And so I think the writer here, Apostle Paul, was recognizing the fact that in church life, you will get into these situations where a man is overtaken in a fault. And then what do you do? How can you help? you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Another verse from Hosea. This is a lament of God where it says in Hosea 13:9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And again in 2 Timothy 2:24-26, it says this, And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And I wanted to focus on that idea, those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledge of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. And so you see here the directives to the servant of God to help those who have made poor decisions and got themselves in situations where they're caught in the snare of the devil, perhaps, and the choices that are making are actually to their own detriment. They're opposing themselves. In Hosea, the message was, Israel, you have destroyed yourself, but my help is in thee. And we see people all around us, and sometimes we are that person who has, by our own choices, by our own concepts, ideas, have gotten ourselves in a situation where we're just tied up in knots. We need help, somebody to help us. What to do? Lord, help me. Often people are used, God uses people to help. And are we good at that? I'd like that to be a skill that we try to develop with each other. To recognize that sometimes that in church life people make choices that are to their own detriment, that are harmful, that are poor choices, that are leading astray, that are maybe ensnaring. But we want to help. We want to feel that impetus. We want to feel that passion. We'd like to make a difference. We'd like to make a difference. Sometimes we feel that in ourselves. We just need help. Have you ever been there where you just needed help? You just cannot handle it. You were just overwhelmed with the situation. You didn't have the answers. You didn't have the resources. You just needed help to get out of this situation. I don't know what that little boy in Aesop's fable felt like when he realized that these people were just not coming to help. But I expect that there was desperation. There was a feeling of rejection. There was a feeling of betrayal. All of these things that nobody's going to come out. God, there's a wolf here. It's terrible. What could be done? I just have a number of different thoughts here for both categories. When we need help. Some categories for when we need help. And some categories or something to think about when we want to set out to try to help others. Some ideas that we can press into. I think first of all, to recognize or to be open to the idea that we need help. We've gotten ourselves into a situation that we need someone to step in and help us. And that can be in many different arenas of our life. This is a situation where there is just plain old broken relationships. Maybe it's a situation where we just, after trying and working at it for a long time, we're just not able to be an overcomer of temptation. Maybe it's a situation where, we just recognize that lack of peace in our hearts. Maybe it's a situation where it's just our life and the circumstances of our life are just unacceptable to us and we can't overcome that. I don't know what arena that you want to think about or perhaps you have experienced. But when you need help, when you are in this situation, maybe someone has come to you and say, you know what, brother, sister, you need help. Have you ever been in that situation, you need help. Someone came to you and said, well, no matter how you get there, but when you realize, a person who realizes that they need help, a few things to remember. One is just plain old humility. And this is just such a big piece of truly being able to help someone spiritually. Humility is such a big thing. It's such a big thing to be helped, to be humble. It's such a big thing when in the outcome, the successful outcome of truly helping someone or truly being helped is humility. The Bible teaches us that restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. It makes a point of that. You know, it is so easy let me just pause a little bit on that. I was gonna start in the next section, but thinking about this idea of humility, being humble, being teachable. You know, there's a. I have had the experience of walking with someone, working with someone where, you know, he was caught in a pretty bad situation. Situation that, you know, he had gotten himself into for years. And there is so much to be said about a person who is just willing to say, I cannot do it on my own. I cannot fix this. I need help. I can truly feel that, just that humility. And with that comes kind of the criteria for you to be able to help me kind of falls away. Why? That's because I really need help. I don't remember what book it was that I read in my youth. I think it was maybe even just a novel, explorer story. I don't quite remember. But this man was on a ship. He was very, we'd say he's a very racist person. So he was there serving on the ship with a bunch of other men. Some of the men that were on the ship with him were black men. He despised black men. So as they went through their journey, and it was long before the internal combustion engine, there was a sailboat, and they were sailing through a storm, through this storm, the ship started to get in trouble. They really had to be careful, and so they were up in the rigging of the ship, and it was very dangerous, and the ship was blown sideways, and here he was working up here, and he fell. Just before he landed in the water, which in this story he couldn't swim. And I think that's kind of a historical fact that a startling amount of sailors through the centuries didn't know how to swim, which seems ridiculous to me, but I think it is a fact of history. So he was going to fall into the water, and he managed to just hold on to a rope, and someone, a black man, saw that he was in trouble. Racing down the river, reached out his hand to help him. But this man was so prejudiced against black people that he refused the help that was offered, and he fell into the water and drowned. So I don't think it was a true story. But it illustrates a fact, just that prejudice against someone being able to help me. Someone being able to help me. And I think that help comes to us from some very startling quarters. So we can learn some things from people that, you know, we think, well, what can I learn from them? You know, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, out of perfected praise. It's a verse from the Bible. The idea that I wanted there is that even from children, we can learn sometimes things about ourselves. We can learn things. The point being just an overall humility. If we're in a situation where we need help, humility is such a key to that. Another thing that I think about when we are needing help, we can just take for granted that those that are trying to help us will make mistakes. We okay with that? We're people. We can sense that someone tries to help, but maybe the words won't come out right. Maybe they won't say the right things to actually make a difference. Maybe through their lack of experience or blundering, they make a mistake. I think that that's just something that we need. That comes to me as I am being helped. Don't expect perfection. Exactly. Always people saying the right thing. You know, the Bible teaches us against being easily offended, right? To not be easily offended. And I think that's something that we can take into this situation where we need help. People will make mistakes. Another thing that I think about when it comes to our willingness to be helped, or when we need help, is a willingness to communicate. And maybe that's something that's real to me. My tendency is if I'm hurting, or if I'm feeling badly, or if I feel misunderstood, or if I'm feeling taken advantage of, it is really easy for me just to be quieter and quieter, and, you know, crawl in a hole and pull the dirt in after me. It's a little bit how I feel. But a willingness to communicate, you know, that takes some, it takes some real effort, that takes some humility, that takes some risk often to be able to share with someone. Willingness to communicate, I think if we really need help, we have to be willing to talk about it, to reach out. When you need help, another idea that came to me was a willingness to be open to new ideas, to changes that maybe you didn't consider, maybe you considered that didn't work, that you didn't think would work, to make a change somehow, to be open to that. I remember especially years ago, there was church life that people had worked with, and it just seemed like there was a real depression. There was a real self-pity. There was a real his feeling was that he had been taken advantage of. Life hadn't treated him fair, and so people would try to come up with various ideas. This happened. Why don't we do something different there? Why don't you think about making this adjustment? And all of the it just seemed like there's a real resistance to change on any level. He just wanted to be here in this situation, and kind of, you know, anything that represented change or difference would he was just kind of really resistant to. It was not a good idea. Wouldn't participate in. And I wonder if there would have just been a massive change in his life, new job, new community, if just the shock of the changes wouldn't have made a difference in his life, rather than just kind of protect what he had and dwell in his situation. You know, when I've needed help, it is so easy for me. And maybe again, this is my personal testimony, my personal weakness, but to get started down a path, and then rather than asking myself, is this the right path, to continue trying new thoughts, new ideas, new ways, new attempts to make this path work, and for someone to come along and say, you know, maybe this ain't the right path, let's get off this path, let's take a different one, is a, you know, it's good for me. It's maybe what I need some days. Is this even the right path? When you need help, open yourself up to those kinds of new ideas. Different perspective. Somebody looking at your life or your situation and what you're up against, and you just feel like it's just continuous and constant, nothing can be done. Maybe somebody else has an idea. Open to trying the new idea. Another thing that came to me about our being able to accept help, or to truly getting help, is to value incremental progress when there's actually progress. You know, that's not for people that are not very patient, maybe again talking about myself, you know, I want to fix today. I want this all to go away and answer and the changes made and fix it all today. And to have the patience for, and recognition of incremental progress, you know. Today was a little better than yesterday. I'm not quite so under the gun as I was. I don't feel quite the heaviness. The progress that we made, it was helpful and it was valuable and it's better than it had been. And I think that this is a valuable thing for keeping one's spirits up, maybe especially for someone who is facing temptation or maybe has a besetting sin that he's working on, can't make progress on. I remember again working with somebody in a situation where they were working towards repentance and there was a lot of vices in their life. One of them was just bad language, just swearing, using bad words. And he knew it was a bad thing to do. And yet when we would sit together and work on things, you know, his emotions about the situation would come out. And pretty soon he was saying things that he ought not to. But over time, there was a recognition of the problem. There was effort put into the problem. There was recognition of the importance of controlling his tongue, watching what words he said, and looking back, you know, we could just see that incremental progress to where he was working on it. He was getting victory. Maybe the situations, the outbursts were further apart. And I think it is important, even in our own lives, to be honest. Have we made progress? Has there been change made? And I look back and the situation I was in was worse then than it is now. All right, then switching to some ideas about when you help others, when you're called on, or you see the need. And I think it is so important, humility, when you start out to help others. It is so important you make a difference. And this has been something maybe I learned through hard experience. Still learning, I don't know. But people, when they're in a really bad situation, they have used their talents, their ideas, their wisdom, their intelligence to try to overcome the problem. You can take for granted they have. They think they have worked on this, and so they can't, you know, there's no simple answer here, and, you know, it is an affront. It is offensive to just show up with an answer. There's a funny video I played different times for this. This person was a counselor. The lady that was being counseled was her fear. The thing that she was struggling with was being buried alive. Being buried alive was her struggle. The whole thing was satire and comedic. But that was her struggle, and that was a skit that was being performed. She struggled to be buried alive in a box. And so she went on to explain it to this counselor. That fear is just overwhelming to her. And so when she gets in tight spots, like in a house or in anything boxy, she gets fear, and she just is scared, buried alive in a box. The counselor was listening to this whole thing, and this weird fear that she was facing, and he told her, well, just stop it. Stop it. She was like, what? Stop it. STOPIT. Stop it. This fear that you have. And, you know, she just kind of recoiled and still, I'm scared. Well, stop it, or I'll bury you alive in a box, he told her. Well, it was funny, but the point of illustration is just the foolishness often of in a really tight situation, somebody's really up against something. For you to show up with a pat, instant, you know, get over your feelings answer is just, it won't help at all. It's completely irrelevant. And so to have the humility to just not show up with instant answers, easy answers that people should have thought of themselves. They're in a situation that is complex and difficult. Hard situations are not, people don't usually get into them very easily, and certainly don't get out of them very easily. I don't want to belittle the idea of repentance and truly a changed life, if that's what we're talking about. But rather, someone who is trying to do what's right, they ended up in a situation that is hard, they're feeling bad, they need help. It is foolish to just show up with easy answers. It's prideful to just show up with those easy answers. When you help others, I think it is important to remember the end state. Like, where are we trying to get to? What would this look like if it was fixed? You know, often I think it is easy for us to try to meet the instant needs, the short-term needs, to kind of get it part way there, rather than remembering where this needs to be in the end. And I wonder sometimes, and we could illustrate it like this, and the homeless people that we help or that we see here in town. Now, what would a fixed end state be? What would a fixed end state be for them? Well, repentance in Jesus, change of life, new choices, new appetites. I think society decides that helping the situation is not that. What they actually need is a house, or maybe even a job, or you know, some way of getting over their addictions, or some halfway step. Now, I don't say I'm not saying we never help the poor, or we never did a sandwich when someone's hungry, or you know, meeting the need of the hour. I'm not saying that's not the right thing to do. There is a place for that for sure. But when we help others, to remember what a good end state is for them. What would a complete fix look like in this situation? Another thing that I have down here, to truly help someone, they have to believe that they have been heard. They have to believe that they're truly being understood. And to listen without providing answers right away, I think is terribly important. For someone that needs help, often they have a hard time communicating, they have it's difficult to share, maybe it's embarrassing to share, maybe it is maybe they're ashamed to share. Maybe they're in the past, what they have shared has been not treated with dignity or with confidentiality. To be a good listener is really important to be able to help somebody. I think it is just this, to be able to hear people out without entering in, providing quick answers. We could take a little bit of diversion into what it means to be a good listener. And I won't spend a lot of time there, but this is one thing that I have found to be extremely helpful and not very hard to do when you're trying to help people or try to understand people, or you're in a situation where people are upset or need help. This thing is really important. I think it's important to be able to repeat the communication to them. I heard you say, this is what you've said. This is what I hear you say. Do I get that? Am I hearing you right? to be able to repeat the communication to prove that you've heard, and they were able to communicate to you what was in their hearts, how they felt about it, and so that they know that you understand. For me, that has been eye-opening in various situations, and this is in business life and in church life, to be able to speak back to a person what they are often passionately trying to communicate to you. I think it's just really important. It's a really good tool to use for being a good listener. It's really a way to truly help someone. Because, you know, often, sometimes at least, maybe even many times, you don't even need to be able to provide the answer then. But it is so relieving to someone to be able to really feel like they were heard, really feel like they were understood in this tough situation. To be able to repeat the communication to prove that you've heard what they're saying. Often, especially if there's a bit of conflict in communication. Maybe there's a bit of this has gone on for a while, and maybe there's reason to believe that they don't think you're hearing them, or they don't like what your answers are, or they don't appreciate the way you're pushing them, any number of those things. Be able to just repeat to them what they're communicating so they hear is really important. Another thing that I think about in truly being able to help someone, I think we see this in Jesus and his interacting with people, is I put down here to not be offended by the fireworks. Do not be offended by the fireworks. And what I mean by that is often when we try to help someone, it's touchy situations. It's situations that are people are not feeling good, and people are not, you know, they are not on their best behavior. They're struggling, working through things, and they don't get it right all the time. And so for us to be able to press in with love, to work with people, to try to help even when maybe they lash out at us and call us names and are not very appreciative of the efforts, to not be offended and to keep trying, I think shows a real sense of maturity, real sense of the end state. And Jesus did that when he was there on the cross. And what was his prayer? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To approach these difficult situations in life, I know what it's like to wake up, look at my phone early in the morning and see someone had sent me text the night before, full of profanity about me and what I had done. The last message was building this back by memory, but kind of a repent-a-buke prayer, put it that way. They were asking God for forgiveness for their profanity. Well, you know, I needed help. What's the point of the prayer? And, you know, I could be offended by that. I could, I'm never going to try that again. That just hurts when I try to help. But to the point I'm making here is that when we are trying to help someone, often a situation that we'll get lashed out against. People will say things about us or about our character or about, you know, our attempts to help that will not be very, very, very flattering. But it happened to Jesus too. Here was Jesus trying to help. Here was his disciples, and he tried to help the Roman soldiers, and he tried to help his disciples, and he tried to help his family, and he tried to help Judas, and he tried to help everybody. He was trying. He's putting his heart into this situation. And many people were offended and lash out, try to stone him, and all of the ways that he was treated poorly in his attempts to help humanity. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. So when we help others, we can be sure there's going to be some fireworks. But if we can keep the end state in mind to approach the situation with humility and with maturity that says, even if someone's a little bit mean to me, I still want to help them, and to truly feel that. Now that's a difficult thing to do, but if we're truly going to be helpers, we're truly going to make a difference in people's lives, I think that we can just expect some of that. I think, too, then, that we need to be able to work in considering that end state idea. We need to be able to say hard things, be able to say true things, to say things that maybe are somewhat offensive to people, or do call out their poor choices and hold them to account for what they have been doing, what they are saying. That too takes a tremendous amount of courage. And we saw that with Jesus as well. Often he said things that people were brought up short and faced with the truth of their own lives and their own choice, their own decisions, and it was a terribly uncomfortable thing to do. It's much easier to be kind and friendly and quiet and not rock the boat, so to speak. But it doesn't help the end state. I think that's, a very mature thing to be. What would this person be like if they were truly where God wanted them to be? Would it be in this no man's land of confusion, or do they need help to see themselves where they're getting wrong? To do that with humility, again, is terribly important. It is easy to tell somebody off for Jesus, if you will, and just ruin the whole situation. Well, in conclusion, do I need help? Can I receive help? Are you a good receiver of help? The things that stand in the way of us being a good receiver of help, one is just self-confidence, pride. I've got it together. Maybe I'd rather maintain my image of being successful, or maybe I'd rather maintain my image of not being trapped by temptation. Maybe I'd rather maintain my image than be a receiver of help. I think that it is just a fact that all of us at various seasons of our lives need help, need somebody to stand by us, need somebody to encourage us, need somebody to hold us accountable, need somebody to help us to be what we need to be. And I think that that's a good posture to think about, good posture to maintain, that I need help sometimes. I just plain old need help. And that's a little bit different than the idea of, I have this problem that somebody, okay, I'll allow them to help me with. But that's a different than actually needing help. Do I feel like it's out of control for me? Someone please step in. This is not something that is a problem I have that I have under control. But truly to think that I actually need someone to help. You know, that's the burden of this. The verses there in 2 Timothy where it says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And it's just a picture of a person who is beyond his own salvation, beyond his ability to recover himself, somebody to step in and walk beside him and show him the way and be there for him. And address the situation with loyalty, with integrity, with humility, knowing that you'll probably get lashed out at, knowing that there's going to be some fireworks in the situation, knowing that you'll have to say some hard things and maybe require some hard things. I think that to truly help, we will need to be able to approach it with all of those things. I think that one thing that comes to me now is I was listening to a presentation that a counselor gave, and he was talking to the daughter of a man, I think, who had abused her, or at least not treated her very nicely at all. The situation was such that the girl just hated her dad, just hated her dad, hated the situation, just despised him. And, you know, it would have been easy for the counselor in that case to be honest with the victim necessarily at all, to be honest with the challenges she faced, be honest with the wrongness of what she had been subjected to, and all of the be on her side piece of this, that it was true and right and acceptable. But to not be honest with the spirit of hatred that she had, her unwillingness to forgive the situation that she was in. Remember in the message, he just told a story about her. And so he just asked her just to do one thing to help the situation. He didn't even say what the thing was, but just one thing to try to build back towards forgiveness in this life, in this relationship that she was facing. Just one thing. Can you do just this one thing to try to work towards forgiveness, work towards healing? He didn't say what it was, but the way the story was given, it seemed like he had maybe asked her to maybe make her dad coffee in the mornings or something like that. And she just could not bring herself to do that. She couldn't bring herself to make this thing. So, do you want help? He said, do you want help in this situation? What I'm asking you to do is just do this one little thing. It's maybe not that. It's not that hard to do, but it will take some self-sacrifice on your part. And in the illustration that he gave, he asked her to do this and she refused. She said, no, I can't do that. Well, if you really want help in this situation, this is what you need to do. And for me to be able to help you, I'm going to require that of you. And so I'll be here when you decide to do that. Then we can pick up our conversation. We can go on with this attempt. But if not, I've probably done what I can to help you in this situation. And I thought at the time it was such a, you know, a pretty stiff stance to take, pretty hard. But the more I thought about it, the more appreciation I had for both the love, but the honesty about the situation, the honesty of requiring things of her to get healing. Honesty with her refusal to adjust and accept and to express and to work and learn that forgiveness that she needed. When we help others, that's what I mean with her. Be honest with where they're at. Be honest with them. Not just victimize or play into their feelings of victimhood, but rather, even in tough situations, to require of each other some real honesty, real change, real accountability. The end state is what he was keeping in mind there. The man was saying, you know, in the end, what does he want? Does he want this distant relationship between this father and daughter because of the wrongs that were committed? Or is he working towards a place where there was true forgiveness, true healing, true togetherness as they want on our life, built towards a tremendously godly end state. And that's what Jesus was did there on the cross when he was suffering for himself. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And somehow through the pain, through the suffering, through the betrayal and the belittling that he faced, the degrading, all of that, he was able to keep the end state. I want to help these people to be true overcomers. You know, that's what Jesus wants for us. That's what God wants for us. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. So I'll just close with that verse again, thinking about that, that often we destroy ourselves. We make those choices that through succumbing to temptation, poor responses to each other, we destroy the relationships, integrity, but help us in God. He can help us.